Blog Talk Radio.
I can't keep on hiding, but I can't reach the surface. Everybody's living different, I just can't compare. Too much left to bottle, took another shot of. Push it up, but I can't find a will to know.
I'm stuck, this happens every month. I don't really ask for much. I just need to touch. While I'm in this hole, I don't wanna watch it go.
No, I don't wanna watch it. They just tell me
why I feel so stuck in my body shoving. I can't change, no, I won't do it for no one. Driving, see you passing by. I just think that I deserve some change.
Hello, welcome to Sports Chat. I'm your host, Sean Barrow the King, and today I'm going to be debating with either you guys or the topics we have here today. If you want to call into the show, number to the show is 516-418-5906. Again, 516-418-5906. You're here exclusively on Blog Talk Radio for the live feed, and welcome to those who are just joining. So let's first get started with what's next for Patty Pimblett. Patty the Batty Pimblett won in a impressive outing at UFC 282. He went up against Jordan, and he didn't do so bad at all. He's come close to losing some of his previous fights, but he has managed to still win, managed to maintain good shape. He's been the talk of the UFC for quite some time, and now people are wondering what's next for Patty Pimblett after winning in London, winning in the hub of UFC, and now Vegas. Now, Pimblett, he's still unranked, and it's very well possible that he goes on to face someone like Poile, a Spanish or Hispanic grappler. Of course, his grappling skills would almost tie up to Patty Pimblett, but he's 26 years old, good prospect like Patty Pimblett. People could see him Patty Pimblett facing off against him. I've heard stuff about Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. You don't want to quite feed Patty Pimblett to the wolves just yet. I mean, people are saying that, well, let's just throw him to the wolves, see what he can really accomplish. But so far, so good for Patty Pimblett in the UFC. I'm a Patty Pimblett fan, unlike some. And he's really obviously stood out. He is arguably one of the most accomplished fighters to come out of Cage Warriors in the UK. Some argue, well, he's from the UK, you know, that's why he was one of the most popular, but I don't necessarily think that's true. I think Pipe Bimble has gone on to display a good resume, and like I said, someone like Poirier or like Guida is totally on the table. Sportsnet, this one website said that Paddy Pimblett striking wasn't as good at UFC 282, but I just rubbed that off my shoulder considering the fact that Paddy Pimblett is arguably one of the best UFC prospects going right now. I think he could strike. I think he could strike amongst the best in UFC in the lightweight division. He's proven that in his one of his very first fights in UFC, knockout punch. I mean, I feel the sky's the limit for Paddy Pimblett. He can certainly tear it up even more, but not necessarily yet with the lightweight title. People would love, like myself, would love to see him go up against someone like Michael Chandler. That is very well possible, but so far so good for Paddy Pimblett. What's next for him? I think he goes up against Poirier, as I mentioned. Is Jalen Hurts or the team responsible for the Eagles' success? Well, this was a question Michael Parsons, Dallas Cowboys linebacker Michael Parsons, had thrown at Von Miller. And I'm starting to think that Michael Parsons more of an Eagles fan. I think it's been reported to mention that Michael Parsons is in fact an Eagles fan, even though he plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Long story short, he talked to Von Miller on Von Miller's podcast on Bleacher Report, via Bleacher Report, and he mentioned how Jalen Hurts has been getting extra help from front office staff, teammates, and such. I could agree on what Michael Parsons is saying. I mean, when people think who's the best quarterback right now, it's not Jalen Hurts. I mean, well, it is, because he's number one in the MVP race. But then again, when you think about who you want to draft on your fantasy team first, I think it's without question Patrick Mahomes. And it's a real possibility right now with how hot the Chiefs have gotten this stretch, and with how good the Eagles are right now in the NFC, it's very well possible we could see Andy Reid match up again with his former team, Philadelphia, in the Super Bowl, from my perspective. Jalen Hurts, he has improved. Despite what people say, he has improved. There's a reason why he's the MVP. He has improved in the pocket, and I think some of his confidence comes from the fact that he has A.J. Brown always to fall back on, and his tremendous skills at running. He can, the Eagles are the best in the rushing attack with Miles Sanders, and Jalen Hurts very well earning a place in the Pro Bowl this year. They probably won't play, since they'll rather be playing off in the Super Bowl, from my perspective. But talk about who's responsible for the Eagles' success. I agree with Michael Parsons that the team is responsible for the Eagles' success. It basically comes down to this, that no one man can lead an NFL team. That's just me. And like I said, even though Jalen Hurts is number one MVP, one of the best quarterbacks in passer rating, completion percentage, he has found help from some of his, from his offensive teammates, as well as the defense. Defense is having a tremendous season in their secondary, and the rush defense has improved, especially with Jordan Davis back. So I would say, for the most part, the team is responsible for the Eagles' success, which I think will go a long way in determining what happens to the Philadelphia Eagles. Next topic, did Caleb Williams deserve the Heisman Award? I believe so. You know, it was a far stretch for Max Duggan, TCU quarterback, to get on the same level as Caleb Williams. And then you look at CJ Stroud and one other player. I think it was disappointing to see that CJ Stroud did not win the Heisman this year. Going into the season, I thought CJ Stroud would very well win the Heisman Award with all expectations considering, and that's a little disappointing. And it's always disappointing to lose the Heisman Award, but you know, there's always that fact that leans on the back of your mind that, well, despite losing the Heisman, he could still very well go on to have a solid career in the NFL or not. I think that's where CJ Stroud sits right now. But talk about one hell of a season for Caleb Williams. USC was 4-8 last year and turned it into an 11-2 program. If they win their bowl game against Tulane, they are going to be they're going to be 12-2, and they very well deserved everything that came at them this season. You got to give kudos to Coach Lincoln Riley for bringing in transfers such as Caleb and even Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison out of Pitt didn't have as great of a season last year, but still was able to be clutch in crucial moments and provide wins for USC. It was a team effort, and it was a spectacular individual effort by Caleb Williams this season. 47 touchdowns thrown, along with many throwing yards to go with it. He definitely deserved the Heisman Award, and if he can win another Heisman Award next season, he'll become the first since Archie Griffin to win from Ohio State to win back-to-back Heisman Awards. He certainly has the capability to do it. Last time USC won 12 games, it was with Pete Carroll, Matt Leiner, and Reggie Bush. This team, good as that team, I believe it, folks. I think Caleb Williams, USC, could very well go out next year, win the Pac-12, and deserve a spot in or earn a spot in the top four college football playoff tournament. So, great for Caleb Williams. Congratulations, Caleb Williams, on winning the Heisman this year. Shifting my attention to Alabama basketball now. How good is Alabama basketball? I think Alabama has been really good this year, especially with five-star recruit Brandon Miller. He's been lighting it up along with Javon. He has been spectacular even in clutch moments. They won against number one Houston. They won against number one North Carolina. North Carolina earned a trip to a national championship game last year, and Houston losing only their fifth home game with Kelvin Sampson out of 71. Kelvin Sampson, you know, is one of the better coaches in college basketball. He's been around forever. And despite how good their defense was, Houston, they lost to a real good team in Alabama. You know, it's unfortunate they lost Barnett, just a day ago, 6 to 8 weeks. But you know, their depth has been shown on the roster with Bradley and a couple others. Bradley's going to have to step in for Barnett and play a fantastic day. I don't know who else replaces that D from Barnett, but you know, Alabama has their priorities straight in order right now, even with Coach Oates. Last year, Alabama went to the NCAA tournament with a number five seed, and this year they're looking to get back into the tournament and do better than last year. You look at Coach Oates' record against number one ranked teams. They are top five ranked teams. They are 5-4. And you consider top 15 teams coming up on Alabama's schedule. I think there's a chance they can definitely be better than last year, but you know, with new recruits coming in, Brennan Miller, he's going to have to prove that come time tournament time, he is ready to answer the call, even though they have upset and played spectacular basketball against Houston and North Carolina as of late. How good is Alabama basketball? Well, I think they're certainly better than the football team this year. No offense to Alabama fans, but it's been a good ride so far this season for Alabama basketball, and would have to say that they are probably on the road to maybe a Final Four spot or Elite Eight spot. I'm not sure, but so far, so good this season for Alabama. I would say they are as good as who they played, Houston and North Carolina. Is Connor Bedard the best NHL prospect since Connor McDavid? Well, some have been saying that he is, but from my perspective, you know, he's undersized. Player, undersized forward, and would say that he had, look on the bright side of things, he has really good puck skills, very good shiftiness, and I think can go amongst the best. I would compare him to Jack Hughes, considering they're both the same size. Jack Hughes and Connor Bedard, and heck, who wouldn't take that right now? Considering the Devils are arguably the best team in the NHL right now, they're atop the Eastern Conference, having such a spectacular year. Connor Bedard expected to be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. Could go to the Flyers. I'd love to see the Flyers possibly add him on. But then again, I think there's really some better prospects in the top three of next year of the 2024 NHL draft. But I digress. Connor Bedard, he is certainly one of the special talent we'll see in the World Juniors coming up. I'll back to have a World Juniors 2023 World Juniors preview prediction show. I'll go over some of the top prospects and all. No, Connor, he's proven to be a good player over time, and although I don't see him being the next Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid is just on another level. Isn't undersized, but yet gets after the puck. Plays well on offense with how tremendous his numbers are, and serves as one of the younger team captains right now in Edmonton. I had talked about Connor McDavid yesterday on our YouTube channel, which you can find at youtube.com/user/SportsCanTV. But just went into detail of how quick Connor McDavid has gone on pace to score his first 100 goals. Could very well be an all-time great if he can get his game up to another level and win a Stanley Cup in Edmonton, something that Wayne Gretzky wasn't able to accomplish. Connor McDavid has been putting on the best numbers for years now in Edmonton. He could very well go on to win a Stanley. I have no doubt he's going to win a Stanley Cup, but time tells what all his hard work will pay off to be. Just stats or Stanley Cup win. I think Commodore is a really good prospect, but not as good as Connor McDavid. And then final topic today. You can call into the show, by the way. The number is 516-418-5906. Again, that's 516. Okay. 516-418-5906. So let me pull up Cage Match now. They had recently the best matches in Impact history. Pulling them up now. Let's see here. That's somewhere on Twitter now. I'm just looking to see where exactly where the rankings are. I'll pull them up in a sec. But in the meantime, though, let me tell you about our sponsor, LifeWave, the Wave of Life. LifeWave, the Wave of Life provides help with stem cells and other deficiencies. It can find a life wave and easily put on a patch that helps you with something like a nail, for example. Was crooked, so to speak, on one of my relatives, and it was crooked for many years until he or she finally put my mom, she discovered LifeWave and realized how good it was when her nail was no longer crooked after many years. So it can do some unimaginable things. So check out LifeWave, the Wave of Life. And so I'm going to tell you guys about our social media pages as well. At SportsCanTV. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, and we're on this Blog Talk Radio platform. I'd like to just remind you that you can find our live feed exclusively here on Blog Talk Radio, but after the show is done, you can find us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and even Spreaker. Surprise, we're on Spreaker now. I guess someone had put in a good word for us. Thank you very much for whoever did that. So find us on Spreaker and get the link to the latest Blog Talk Radio broadcast on our YouTube page at youtube.com/user/SportsKingdomTV. Now, I think while I wait to get the rankings up here, it's going to take me a little time. I was actually in Florida last week, was going to go to the latest TV taping, but I didn't, unfortunately. Although, once the Miami Heat game wasn't that bad, a good game. Well, not a good game for Heat fans, but the Spurs won over the Heat at FTX Arena. FTX Arena, where Sam Bankman-Fried is facing a possible lifetime sentence for laundering fraud. I was just at FTX Arena. Now looks like there may be some changes coming to FTX Arena very soon. I digress, however. I have the rankings up here, and just amazing as for the first time since 2010, Josh Alexander versus Mike Bailey went on to become Cage Match's top 10 TNA matches of all, top TNA Impact matches of all time since, I'm looking at it here, Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson. That time Kurt Angle did that moonsault off the top of a steel cage and landed on Mr. Anderson. Did that in his time, in Kurt Angle's time against Bobby Roode, cost him, I believe, some more time in the ring, although what an all-time classic that was between Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson during lockdown 2010, then Alk Shelley and Chris Sabin against Beer Money. Not too often do we see Beer Money and Alk Shelley and Chris Sabin square off against each other, but those were two of some of the best greatest tag teams of all time in Impact Wrestling history. And then you look over some other matches. AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe at TNA Unbreakable in 2005 was the best match ranked out of Cage Match. Cage Match, by the way, is the hardcore wrestling fan base community that goes as far low as down as the indie level, and these are professionals. I believe this has been arguably a sound professional site for a good time now. But AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe is arguably a classic. So was AJ Styles versus Daniels versus Samoa Joe in 2009. They hit off many times. Daniels, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. Those matches are in the top 10 here, as well as at number 7, Chris Harris versus James Storm, two former partners of America's Most Wanted. Again, who wouldn't want to see that match? Chris Harris versus James Storm, as well as the time James Storm faced off his other famous tag team opponent, Bobby Roode, at believe it was 2012 same anniversary. Afterwards that match, I recall the Austin Aries implementing option C and winning the Impact World Heavyweight title after just 1 year in the company. He had been in the company for a good couple of years before as an X Division star, featured as an X Division star, but in his second or third stint, you know, he was implemented as one of the top heavyweights. So there are definitely some good matches there. Even prime time when he walked the steel of the top of a cage and landed with a Hurricane Rana. It was just a tremendous double combo. And now, ranked second of all time is Josh Alexander versus Mike Bailey, the recent match some Impact Wrestling fans have seen. Is it the best TNA Impact Wrestling match of all time? Well, I would say this is definitely the best 60-minute match in TNA I've ever watched or Impact Wrestling. But if I had to say if they were better than AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe, primetime, and the rivalry matchup between AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels versus AJ Styles, I would beg to object that I believe that this match between Josh Alexander versus Mick Bailey definitely ranks in the top 10, but would say they're more as a top six match of all time in TNA Impact history. Loved what I saw of Mike Bailey. He had been out of, as Tom Hannafin was alluding to, formerly Tom Phillips of WWE, he had alluded to the fact that Mike Bailey had been out of the U.S. for 5 years, had been locked out of the U.S. for 5 years, has come back over time, with time in PWG, Destiny Wrestling, where Josh Alexander first met Mike Bailey, and so on. Mike Bailey has, at 32, shown just how much he has improved since his time in on the U.S. indie scene. And after 5 years, he definitely changed up his arsenal, his physique. And other such matters. He went up against Josh Alexander, the walking weapon, who I would say is one of the better Impact talents we've seen come through Impact Wrestling as of late. Josh Alexander. Now, was using the Styles Clash, was using the ankle or angle lock in this match, but I mean, Mike Bailey, you know, he just chopped away and also delivered a nice moonsault over the ropes. How often do we see that? I mean, just some incredible innovation in this match, passion instilled, and most of all, crisp in ring work. I mean, all of it was just fantastic. After the match ended, Scott D'Amore and others had clapped and congratulated Mike Bailey on Josh. I'm not so sure if we saw Josh Alexander, but we did see Mike Bailey get a huge applause after the match. And so then afterwards, we saw Kenny King, Mike Bailey, tough it out in the backstage area. It seems like Impact's going a different direction with Mike Bailey. They want Mike Bailey to go up against Kenny King before anything. Very well possible. I think it's very well possible we could see Mike Bailey in a main event match come time this year. He has proven after this match and after some of his other X Division classics that he can certainly go up with some of the best Impact has to offer. And, you know, Josh Alexander, Mike Bailey, even though there were enemies in this match, are very good friends outside of the ring. And Mike Bailey had mentioned he signed his first contract ever with Impact on Josh Alexander's back, and shows how much they value their friendship. Well, as of late, Ace Austin, Chris Bay, they've both been in New Japan, and I'm trying to find my Blog Talk Radio studio here. I have 40 seconds. Thanks a lot. I'm just going to say, you know, I think Ace Austin's probably one of the – well, it's actually better than Mike Bailey, in my opinion. Despite the fact that maybe people have been saying, oh, well, this is the best match – one of the best matches we've seen in Impact for quite some time on TV, especially. Chris Bay and Ace Austin have been tearing it up in Japan, and I wouldn't be surprised Ace Austin, as great of the heel he is, steps in some time with Mike Bailey, and it may have a match or what have you, or any opponent that crosses Ace Austin will become. He's arguably a better talent, is from my perspective, a better talent than Mike Bailey, even though Mike Bailey managed to seal off a fantastic match with Josh Alexander. I'm starting to get a little tired of the reign of Josh Alexander, but I think very soon we'll see someone new carry the title. As I close up this show, I will say congratulations to Josh Alexander and Mike Bailey on some impressive performances. Is it the best Team Impact match of all time? Not necessarily, but it did bring eyes to the product, and certainly gratified me. So this about does it for Sports Kingdom, and thank you. Thank you for joining in. Peace out.